Well, welcome. If I haven't had a chance to say hi, good morning to you. Welcome to you. It's great to have Amy Lee's family from out east. Welcome. Amy Lee, I should say. Ely, from Amy Lee, from Ely, and the rest of her family too. So, good morning. Friends, there's a river that flows from the throne. It's not a gentle stream, it's a powerful flow. It's wide, it's deep, it's strong. And there's trees, as we were reminded in the prayer meeting, that bear fruit all year round. And their leaves are for the healing of the nations. And God's called this church to be a gateway to the nations and to bring healing to the nations. And let the little children come unto me, Jesus said. And so that preschools that we're building in Uganda and in, when you say we, it's like a statement of faith, is that we're going to be doing a double blessing, one in New Hanover, South Africa, and the other one Uganda, and that these children are going to get ministered to. And that's religion that's faultless, to look after the widow, the orphan, and particularly in the ministry, Benjamin Generation, there are a lot of orphans in that ministry, and they're building a preschool. So very exciting, and hopefully we're going to do some journeys into those nations into the future soon, and very soon. Watch this space. We've got flags of the nations, as you may see, and I know that there's a call of nations on this church. There's people who've ministered long term in nations like Turkey, and ourselves, we were in Turkey for a number of years, but there's other nations that God's put on our hearts. And so when Jesus said to his disciples, "It's to your advantage that I go away," I can imagine them saying, "What? No. Are you for real? I had Jesus and John ministries in Jerusalem already. I was prepared to make the banner." And I can just imagine John thinking, "This is not how I'm seeing the future. I want to see the kingdom come. I want to see the king, you the king. And I want to see what you're going to do." And Jesus is saying, "No, it's to your advantage I go away." You see, while Jesus was on earth, he could only be in one place at one time. But you see, the Holy Spirit would carry on Jesus' ministry throughout the entire world at all times. So here's a thought on Pentecost Sunday. What if the Holy Spirit had never come into the world? What if we only had to depend on the facts of the gospel, such as Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, without having something to set our hearts on fire with those truths? And we only have to look at the disciples prior to Pentecost to see what was happening. Man, they were in lockdown, a little bit like we've experienced in the last year. They were behind closed doors. They were in fear. Why did they have to sit there for 10 days? Or, you know, because there was something building. There was an expectancy. There was an anticipation. There was faith that I believe was building. It's like, you know, people building up to, say, Christmas. Man, when you wait for something, the anticipation grows, the expectancy grows, even the faith levels grow. As you're waiting, that's why through faith and patience we inherit the promises. And the Holy Spirit is a precious promise from the Father. And we're going to be talking a little bit about that this morning. And so they were behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. But thank God that the Holy Spirit came and set our hearts on fire. And the Holy Spirit exploded onto the scene. I think Ken mentioned the wind, the fire, like tongues of fire, and like a mighty wind, rushing wind came through the upper room. It was probably a room not too dissimilar to this, but they had 120 people in there, and they were anticipating God to move. And the Old Testament promise of the Holy Spirit was fulfilled at that moment. So what locked doors does God want to shatter this morning? What areas does he want to break down? What even mental blocks? Sometimes we have like a little bit of almost a familiarity or a thing that, well, I'm not so sure. God wants to break those things down. God wants to demolish strongholds, demolish things that would resist the knowledge of him coming and the fullness of him coming. I love this song, and we need a revelation of the resurrected Christ who has triumphed over death. In the words of the song, death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. And then soon and very soon, this veil's going to be torn. On the 21st of June, are we going to have a veil-tearing Sunday? Because God wants us to go into the fullness of all that he has. that death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of the sin of sin in the grave. The heavens are roaring. The praise of your glory. We spoke about that this morning. For you raised to life again. Hallelujah. What a declaration. Let this time be our upper room. May we receive a fresh touch of the Spirit. He wants to clothe us. Clothe us. You got dressed this morning, but I don't think you probably thought, I want to be clothed with power from on high. So let me put on the power from on high. You didn't think that, but that's what the picture was. I want to clothe you with power from on high, with Holy Ghost boldness, that we could be seed sowing gospel carriers. It's not so much our words, but the Spirit of God within us. And the Spirit of God will convict. The Holy Spirit convicts us of guilt with regards to sin, righteousness, and even judgment to come. And why does he convict and with regards to sin? Because people do not believe in Jesus. That sin of unbelief, which is so prevalent. The unbelief, friends. Man, why do we doubt? Because there's a spirit of doubt and unbelief. And we've got to resist that. We've got to stand against that. And we put trust in ourselves so often, or trust in the NHS, or trust in the government, or trust in this, or trust in that. And so often it's misplaced in many respects, because only God can meet our every need. Only God can answer our every longing. There's a God who made me, and there's a God who made you. And you and I are accountable to him, and we'll give an answer for the life we've lived and the sacrifice of his son. What we've done with Jesus will be the ultimate question for all eternity. When you stand in the throne room, and you will, what will you say? Because what will you have done with Jesus on that day? Why would he receive you? Where have you put your trust? If you've put your trust in him, I've looked to him, only him. Not my church attendance, not my confirmation class, not my even my prayer that I prayed, but it's because it's the trust I put in his blood that's been shed. Amen. And you see, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, yes. And he'll lead us into all truth. He knows all things, and he'll show all things to come. That's the evidence of the deity of the Holy Spirit. And it brings glory to Jesus. So a bit of the background of Pentecost, when we celebrate this in the church calendar, you see, after the resurrection, there was a period of 40 days, and Jesus presented himself to the apostles whom he had chosen. And he says, as the Father sent me, I am sending you. And in sending them with authority, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. But then he said to them, wait in Jerusalem until you receive the fullness of the Spirit. Luke 24:29, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. We've been talking about inheriting the promises. But stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. In other words, up to now, you're ill prepared. Don't go anywhere. Don't do anything until you've been clothed with power. It's a supernatural enabling. That this power from on high would be clothing them, and power to be witnesses. And where? In Jerusalem. Power to be witnesses in Judea. Power to be witnesses in Samaria. Power to be witnesses to the ends of the earth, to the nations. And that precious promise for all God's people, according to the prophet Joel, is an abundant, it is just an outpouring of life-giving rains, where the sons and daughters will prophesy. We've heard that sons and daughters prophesying this morning. Old men shall dream dreams. Anyone had any dreams? Any old men in the meeting this morning? Any young men seeing visions? These are promises over your life. And it's not for a select few. It's for all your sons and daughters, young and old, male and female. That's the promise. And I want to inherit that promise. I'm waiting for the next dream or vision. I don't know if I fall in the old or the young. But you see, on Pentecost, 50 days after Passover, the 120 were gathered in the upper room. And Acts 2 says, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So Jesus is comparing the Holy Spirit's work to the wind, but there's also an increased power, greatly increased power. And so, friends, when I say this word fire in the Old Testament, it often depicted the presence of God. On Mount Sinai, there's this consuming fire that was on the top of that mount where God was. And then there's the refiner's fire in purifying and holiness. It's like the dross on the refiner, the metal that's been heated up and then the dross is skimmed off. That's a refining process, consuming everything that's impure, getting to gold that's, 99.99% pure. And then divided tongues as of fire. That might purify both, represent both purity and power of speech, as the disciples then go out and proclaim the mighty works of God, as well as the holy presence of God, all filled with the Spirit. You see, with the Spirit came a new, more powerful way, signifying a new covenant age. And so this 50 days after Easter, we celebrate the reverse of the curse of Babel. What happened at Babel? There was confusion. You know, we talk about babbling on. You're just babbling on. You're not making any sense. You're confused. You're confusing me. That was what happened as they were scattered with different languages to the ends of the earth. Now what happens at Pentecost? They come together and they're understanding each other. There's a new language, and there's a language of the Spirit, and there's a language of God, and there's an understanding even in their own tongues. The interpretation is coming. And then there's the birth, as Ken said, of the body of Christ, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on daughters and sons of God for the purpose of mission. It's not so a holy huddle. We're in the upper room. Let's stay there, guys. No. Peter, along with the 11, he stood up, along with the 12. Just trying to remember the exact number. He stood up with them. It was a unified presence. And together they preached the gospel. And 3,000, how many died at Sinai with the coming of the law? 3,000. And how many were saved?
Amen.
God does not leave us alone. He wants to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire. He promised he would not leave us as orphans. Can you say, I'm not an orphan? I'm not an orphan. Spirit of adoption, spirit of sonship, spirit of daughtership by which you can cry, Abba, Father, Daddy. The Helper has come, the great Helper. Hallelujah. And in Luke 3, verse 16 to 17, John the Baptist answered a question whether Jesus was the Christ by saying, I baptize you with water. But one who's more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. You. Fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn, and burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. He's speaking of Jesus as the giver of the Holy Spirit, the baptizer with Holy Spirit and fire. For some of us, this will be the purifying fire of the Holy Spirit and a positive personal Pentecost. For others, this will be the negative divine judgment of fire. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of fire. Jesus said, I've come to bring fire on earth. There's no escaping fire. Fire draws your attention. There was a fire underneath us. Well, we never smelt the smoke here, but there was a fire under here. And it drew attention because it starts to consume. It starts to blacken. It starts to have an effect. And how did he come in the upper room? Did he come as a dove? No. You see, Jesus, when he received the Spirit, he received the Spirit as a dove upon him, as a metaphor, as a picture. There's nothing in him to purify. He comes to us as a fire because we need purification. And William Booth, I quoted this in the prayer meeting this morning. If you ever want to join us, our pre-service prayer meeting is from 10. And I'd love you to join them. A little bit of an upper room here. But he brought this great, great hymn. And he was somebody who loved people from the least to the, you know, he just had a great love. And he said, Thou Christ of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire. Thy blood-bought gift today we claim. Send the fire. It's more of an intercessory cry and a prayer. Look down and see this waiting host. Give us the promised Holy Ghost. We want another Pentecost to make our weak hearts strong and brave. Send the fire to live a dying world to save. Send the fire. Oh, see us on thine altar lay our lives, our all this very day. To crown the offering, now we pray, send the fire. More than words, let them be our prayer. Let it be our petition. And friends, Simon, 5 years ago, on social media, when you post stuff, it's there for a long time. 5 years ago, he posted this. And if we could look at this, friends, it's a prophetic picture. God wants to blow in us again. God wants to ignite. It's just called How to Start a Volcano. I don't know if I'll recommend doing this at home, but it's... No, that's not it. That's the other one. That's not a volcano. That's that one. It's a leaf blower in a chimney. Takes a while, but... Give it time. Yeah. There we go. Send the fire. Send the fire. God's wanting to light the fire. God's wanting to fan into flame. God sent the fire. God wants to ignite. God wants to ignite. You see, those leaves took a long time to get going. They needed oxygen. They needed some wind of the Spirit. They needed something to fan them into flame. And you see, God's breath is powerful. When he said, you will receive dunamis. You'll receive power. That's the word for power, dunamis. Now, that's where we get the word dynamo or dynamic or dynamite, whichever you need. You probably need all of the above. But it's where we get this rocket fuel picture of combustion for the Lord. To make our weak hearts strong and brave. Send the fire to live a dying world to save. Send the fire. Oh, see on us thine altar lay. God, we want to lay down our... So you can resurrect us in fire and glory. Let the fire fall as the wind blows and the glory comes down. As we've sung before. And then in the prophetic mandate on Gateway many years ago, when it was planted 23 years ago, Margaret's been one of the founding members of this church, but this was the prophetic word over this church, planting a fire base. Let that resonate in your spirit this morning. It was through a guy, Eldred Engelsman. He said he saw a refreshing wind blow into the bare fireplaces of the houses. The fireplaces came alight. Warmth came from them, and the people in the houses gathered around the fires for warmth. They danced and celebrated and ate in front of the fires. Something we're going to do soon and very soon. They moved from one house to another. Then the people from each house brought shovelfuls of hot coals to a central place to make a pile of coals. And it said, Gateway will be a place of fire and warmth for the people outside, bringing life, warmth, and hope to the city. Amen. I want to believe that, but it's not just, we've got to lay hold of these promises. We've got to contend for the promises of God. And as I was reminded in the prayer meeting this morning, in Hale Village, there's this manor. They had the manor garden. And I didn't realize what these walls were, but they were 12 foot high, just bricks. And there was flumes or chimney. Well, they used to light fires against these walls. And they were clay walls or clay bricks. What would happen is that they were creating a microclimate to stop the frost, to bring the warmth and extend the growing season of that garden. There was the days before glass and before greenhouses, and that's how they used to do it. And I think for so long we've been living behind walls, too long, friends. And God's saying, we want you to be a greenhouse that people can see into your life, can see into your home, that your home is open, that your hearts are open, that there's life and growth, everything. I mean, we're having a competition at the moment to grow sunflower seeds. And so if you come to our house, you'll see various stages of sunflower seeds. Mine aren't doing too well because I haven't made a greenhouse. The conservatory is like a mini greenhouse. BBC sunflowers are doing so well. They're like this high. And so are some of the others. But mine's been left outside. It got taken out in the hail, sorry. And so mine are not a good example. But BBs are a great example in this conservatory, where it's like this little warmth area. And I trust you know the love of God in this place. I trust you respond to that love and give that love to others. Then don't just receive it here, but carriers of love, carriers of God's warmth and His Spirit. And so, friends, from the beginning of time, from Genesis to Revelation, there's a river that flowed in the Garden of Eden, and there was a river from the New Jerusalem. And friends, when we see that river flowing, it's a river that's carrying life. It's a river that flows. And even in Ezekiel, there's a river that flows from out of underneath the temple. And it's a river in Revelation of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And that brings, friends, it sustains life. The Spirit of God sustains life. God's inviting us to get into the river, to go deeper, not just as the scripture says in Ezekiel, ankle deep or knee deep or waist deep. God's wanting us to throw ourselves into a river. For some of you, that's scary because you maybe don't swim too well. But God wants to carry you in the Spirit. God wants to I just almost feel that He wants us to go with the flow. Go with the flow. And even the power of God goes to the dry places, the unlikely places, the places that you wouldn't necessarily expect the life to go. And that's why it says, not by our might or by our strength, but by the Spirit, says the Lord God Almighty in Zechariah 4:6. And Isaiah 44 verse 3, for I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I'll pour out my Spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. I'll make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valleys. I will turn the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into springs. Isn't that beautiful? That's a wonderful picture of just life where you don't expect it. Even in the UK, there is lots of greenery here, but man, it can be a spiritual desert. How many of you feel that in your workplace? How many of that you feel that in the highways, the byways, the cutthroat kind of, man, it's like we need to be just a wellspring of life. That's the picture. And I was going to show you the Old Faithful Geezer, which some of you have seen, but many of you haven't. But it's just this, Google it, man, there you just, 30 seconds, guys, and we can just see what the power of this water that wells up, this geyser of hot rushing water. I don't think there's any audio. It's just, yeah, this is in Yosemite National Park, and just incredible force of the superheated water as it just bursts out of the... And it's like God wants to take the lid off. God wants to well up within us. He says, Jesus says, come to me and I'll be a spring of living water to you that will satisfy your soul. I'll spring up in you. Spring up within me and give me that life abundantly. You remember that Christian song? So friends, as we begin to wrap up this morning, I know that God doesn't want a trickle. God wants a river. God wants not just a stream, a mighty river, a mighty torrent, a mighty flow. I don't want to be satisfied with just a trickle or a stream. And I think that just as there's, God wants to fan things in our chimneys, God wants to release something of the Spirit of God in our lives. If we're thirsty, God will pour in more and release more. And As I throw out the challenge this morning, this is the promise. God will pour out His Spirit on all flesh. Joel 2. The fulfillment. Acts 2:4. They were all filled. No exclusions. They all spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then what was the purpose? Acts 1:8. That you will receive power to be witnesses. And in Jude 20, we see that we are edified, we're built up in faith as we pray in the Spirit, as we pray in the Holy Ghost. And Jesus is the baptizer. Invitation is there, friends. It's the promise of the Father. If you want to inherit that promise, if you want to receive that precious promise, you can be filled. If you're born again, if you've trusted in His sacrifice, in His blood, and you know your sins are forgiven, the Holy Spirit is pleased to come. You can receive the love and grace, and you can receive the baptism or immersion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But friends, you've got to want to be filled. The invitation is to the thirsty. Come and drink. To him that are thirsty, come. Come freely without cost. Come and receive. What are the hindrances? Well, often we're unwilling to surrender. We often don't recognize our desperate need, our self-sufficiency. Blessed are those who are poor in the spirit, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They recognize their need. And A.W. Tozer said, Christians without the Holy Spirit are like Israelites wandering in the desert without the cloud or the fire, filled with the Spirit, sense of protection, of covering, of warmth. And then we've got to ask to be filled. So not only do we can be filled and you want to be filled, but we've got to ask to be filled. Whoever seeks, finds. Whoever knocks, the doors open. Whoever. We receive not because we ask not. We seek this morning. We ask and we knock. You know, my dad had to get alone with God. I had to get alone with God. How many of you can testify getting alone with God and receiving and being clothed with the Spirit and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues? This is a gift. And how do you do? Well, you receive it. Any gift, you receive it. Father, I want to thank you this morning as we remember this Pentecost Sunday, your precious promise of the gift of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the person of the Spirit. God, we thank you, the third part of the Godhead. We thank you. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. You are welcome in our lives. And we want to open our hearts to you this morning. And I wonder if we can stand together, even as we close the meeting.